Hillary Woman is elected to the Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now is that the 12th there in the Oregon, Texas? Today is June 18th, 2024, or is the 12th day of the 4th month, 2028. We'll start our first service today with a song.
Fasting not, O gentle Savior.
Ask me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. For on earth is our calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All our others are calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a seat in me. Kneeling there in deep confession, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All our others are calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in the merit, could I seek God's faith? Hear my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All our others are calling, do not pass me by. Thou, the spring of all thy comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All our others are calling, do not pass me by.
We're going to our service, and we're still in it. Track number 9, Behold, I make all things new, but beat the holler. Now, when the winds are loose and blowing, is a subtitle. We're on page 58 of Behold, I Make All Things New. We'll just make that the title of our sermon. This is part 3. When the winds are loose and blowing, okay, for the angels holding back the winds of the at the four corners of the earth, do notice that they are holding back some worldwide trouble, which should it break out while the church is in her latest sin condition, would block the ceiling. And from this fact, it follows that immediately after the 144,000 are sealed, the trouble will begin signalizing the angels for the loosing of the wind. With this trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, Daniel 12:1. The great multitude is to be brought face to face while being called out of the Babylon, Revelation 18:4, into the kingdom. So the Babylon is universal, is a Gentile world outside of the kingdom of Israel. For this time of the trouble is foreshadowed by the present trouble which the church is bringing upon the first fruit, those who are being sealed, marked in her midst, to be removed into the kingdom, the barn, Matthew 13:30, the vessel, Matthew 13:48. Consequently, as the making of the image of the beast, Revelation 13:11-18, is in the prophecy, is the only worldwide event of this kind, and as the great multitude with the palms in their hands come out of the great tribulation, is the only logical conclusion that after the 144,000 are sealed, and while the winds are blowing, the second fruits will be gathered, and the work of the teaching of the plan of salvation, the brother everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, will be closed. For the trouble will burst forth as a two-horned beast, a decrease. That's the United States government. The two horns represents the Democrat Republican Party. That's all they call lawmakers for our government. Well, that decree is nothing but a law that they have made. The Democrats and Republicans are in Washington, D.C. They just made another law saying that you're going to have to join this worship of this false Catholic Trinity doctrine that the Catholic Church has finally got all Protestant churches worldwide to embrace, and that's the only thing that they're allowed to teach in their churches worldwide, is that false Catholic doctrine of the three-in-one person of the Godhead, of the Mother, Father, Son, and of the Holy, what they call the Holy Ghost. I call it the Holy Spirit. So it says, where the trouble will burst forth as the two-horned beast decrees, that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13:17. That's where the dragon be wroth with the woman and make war with the remnant of her seed, that keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua. Revelation 12:17. And at the same time, the angels will be allowed to hurt all who trouble the church of Yahweh and who attempt to join it in the same way as the terrorists now do. And thus hurting the wicked, the angels execute the wrath of the Lamb. And in view of this, the Yahshua ask who shall be able to stand. Revelation 6:17. It is the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. Malachi 4:5. And the sinners in Zion are afraid. Notice this is cheerfulness hath surprised the hypocrite. Hence the question, who among us shall dwell with the divine fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Only those who see themselves in the need of everything, and these are the ones who see the King. Okay, that's our next subtitle of this subject is The Ones Who See the King on page 60. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of the oppression, that shaketh his hands from the holding of the bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. This place of the defense shall be the munitions of the rock. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the King and his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation. As a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. This is a tabernacle of David that we have in his infancy right now, that we're ministering in right now. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Yeshua will be unto us as a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with the oars, neither shall a gallant ship pass thereby. For Yeshua is our judge, for Yeshua is our lawmaker, for Yeshua is our king, for he will save us, Isaiah 33:14-22. For the Michael is the great prince, Yeshua, the son of the Yahweh, shall then stand up and deliver everyone. They shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1, because in that day the Yeshua is both to shepherd the faithful and to punish the unfaithful. For the message announces this great and dreadful day of Malachi 4:5 is titled The Shepherd's Rod. Yahshua's voice therefore crieth unto the city, Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Micah 6:9. Okay, let's back up a little bit here and review some things. We're on page 65. Top paragraph, it says, that this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. Then shall go forth the word of Yahweh, Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Isaiah 33:13. All who have acknowledged and profited by his might in the past, along with all who will acknowledge and profit by his might in the future, are to be found in the five groups in the kingdom. These groups are, number one, the 144,000 Israelites, as the first fruits of the living, who is a noble shall be of themselves. In other words, their leaders and ministers are going to be of themselves and among themselves. And whose governor shall proceed from the midst of them. Jeremiah 30:21. They shall return to Jerusalem and stand on the Mount Sion with the Lamb. Number two, those whom John saw after the sealing of the 144,000 gathered from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues during the great tribulation, the time of the trouble since it never was, the great multitude who go to Jerusalem before the resurrection. Number three, those who arise unto everlasting life and the resurrection of the Daniel 12:2. And number four, those Israelites who shall come forth in the resurrection of the Ezekiel 37:1-14. And number five, all who come in the resurrection of the Revelation 20:6. Collectively, these were all the Israelites and Gentiles who shall return unto Jerusalem, possess the promised land, and then the whole earth. Ironically, futile, therefore, in the view of what we have seen in these pages, is the ever-strengthening aim to reveal Jerusalem as one movement is endeavoring to do in the response to the prophecies of the kingdom by the taking the non-Christian Jews, and as another movement is endeavoring to do in response to the same prophecies by the taking the English-speaking world, a kingdom of both believers and unbelievers would be none the better than the kingdoms of today. It would, in fact, be nothing more than a problem, nothing more than the hold of every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. To work for such a hope is to take a long step toward bringing into Satan's powerful delusion. Counterfeiting Yahshua is a counterfeit in a counterfeit kingdom. Thus it is that only those who have been diligent students of the Scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive. By the Bible testimony, these will detect the deceiver and is his disguise. Are the people of the Yahweh now so firmly established upon his word that they would not yield to the evidence of their senses? Would they in such a crisis cling to the Bible and the Bible only? The Great Controversy 6:25. In the view of this urgency for the safeguarding of the Christian's crowning hope, the kingdom, it is expedient, therefore, to consolidate the main points thus far establishing, and the end gathering, hence a summary of the first and second fruit. Number one, when the time of the tares, the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38, is come unto its full, then will commence the harvest, and it will bring the end of this world, Matthew 13:30-40, taking place in the end of the world. Perforce is the gathering of the people by the Elijah's message, and that's the message of the Elijah David here in the 12th parabolic hour that we're given even as we speak right now. The last heaven-sent proclamation of the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, which is preached first to the Seventh-day Adventist Church just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, and then unto all the world during that long expected day. For the message of finding the net full upon its arrival, and subsequently causing a division between those who accept it and those who reject it, it enables the angels to select the bad from among the good, Matthew 13:48. For these good are the first fruits of the redeemed. Then follows the separation implicit in the call. Come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that she receive not of her plague. Revelation 10:18-4. For these called out ones are the second fruit. In the first instance, the bad are cast out from among the good that are caught in the net. The message reposing in the church, whereas in the second instance, only Yahweh's faithful are called out from among the sinners in Babylon, there being no tares among them. For the tares and the wheat were commingled in the former instance, because while men slept, says Yahweh, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Whereas the wheat is kept free from the tares in the latter instance, because, says Yahweh, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, Isaiah 62:6. For the Babylon dominion being symbolized by the scarlet colored beast, the beast upon which sits the woman, Revelation 17, the symbolization is therefore representative of an international religious political. For the religious aspect is symbolized by the woman, the civil aspect by the horn of the beast, and their combination as a symbolical prediction of a worldwide system of the Church of State Union. For the beast alone, exclusive of the horn, represents, as do the beast of the Daniel 7, the world's multitudes, the subjects of the antitypical Babylon, from among whom Yahweh's people are called. This gathering constitutes the separation of the second fruit. From this, the truth is again seen that the first and the second fruits of the living, the one gathered from within the church at the commencement of the great and dreadful day, and the other gathered out of the Babylon during that day, constitutes the kingdom at its beginning and before the resurrection of the dead. For the facts, moreover, that only the good from the net were kept, and that only Yahweh's people were called out of the Babylon, hail the kingdom as the home of the righteous only. But this shall be the covenant, declares Yahweh, concerning this glorious truth of the kingdom, that I will make with the house of the Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Hello, the Yahweh. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31, 33, and 34. And they shall call them acclaims Isaiah, as the holy people, as the redeemed of the Yeshua, Isaiah 62, 12. And a highway shall be there, he assures, and a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the weight-bearing men, who fools shall not err therein. Isaiah 35:8. Number two, when this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, Matthew 24:14, for the work of the gospel, or the preaching, or the teaching of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way, for the new covenant and the new testament shall end, and probation shall close for every human being. Number three, when both Jew and Gentile who have responded unto the call have been gathered from the four corners of the earth, then will the harvest end. Then will the last lingering moment of the probationary time have fled away forever. Then will the end have come, and from the great white throne will have gone forth the immutable fiat. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:11. For the learning to their terror with the passing of the probation that they are forever lost, the neglectful will cry out bitterly, for the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Behold, I come quickly, declares Yahshua, following his solemn pronouncement of the close of the probation of Revelation 22:11. And my reward is with me, to give every man according unto his work shall be, Revelation 22:12. Here is anchor evidence that the probation closes before the Yahshua's visible return. Number four. Now this is wrong. Behold, I come quickly, declares Yahshua, before the probation closes at the end of the 12th hour, following his solemn pronouncement of the close of probation of Revelation 21, and my reward is with me. The shepherd brings his reward with him at the beginning of the harvest, starting with 144,000. What do you think that they stand on Mount Zion with the Lamb, the 144,000? Because he has brought his reward and given to them eternal life for them purifying their souls through obedience to the new and living way, the truth that they had, the present truth that they had received, became sanctified for it, just like the apostles at the day of Pentecost. They give every man according unto his work shall be, Revelation 22 as well. That is to be done here in the 12th hour while probation is still open, not after it closes. Here is anchor evidence that probation closes after the Yeshua's visible return. I had reversed the meaning of that whole paragraph. It's to be the truth. Number four, at the close of the seventh plague, the Yahshua himself visible to every eye, Revelation 21. This is all wrong. This is why I had this all wrong. At the close of the seventh plague, there are seven last plagues to be poured out. Why are they called last plagues? Because the three plagues of the ten plagues that are poured out in Antioch, like they were down in Egypt, they were Moses. Yahweh through Moses poured out ten plagues on the Egyptians as a type. We got to have ten here in the last days. And you got to have three before probation closes, and then the last seven is after probation closes. Yahshua himself visible to the every eye, Revelation 7, yeah. So it says, shall descend from the heaven. No. Yahshua is going to descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of the Yahweh. And the dead and the Yahshua shall rise first, and we which are alive and men shall be caught to the beginning and the clouds, and meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. That is subject to be explained more clearly by what I just read, but not right now. With the righteous dead of all ages being resurrected and joined with the living saints, the kingdom is completely made up of the righteous having been set on his right, the kingdom, and the wicked on his left, Babylon. Then while the king sends those on his left into the everlasting punishment, he says unto those on his right, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:46-34. Following this is realized the long awaited fruition of the glorious hope engendered of the Yahshua's promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:2-3. For this stirring hope of the every Christian is beautifully foreshadowed in the translation of Genesis 5:24. For the translation of the Elijah 2, or 2 Kings 2:11. And the resurrection of the multitude whom the Yahshua led on high. Matthew 27:52-53, Ephesians 4:8. For a threefold typification in the temple, accord with the Yahweh's law of the type, that where there is type, there must also be antitype. Were there not assuredly in this connection to be an antitype, ascension of all the saints, then there would not have been a type translation of Enoch and Elijah, an extension of the multitude. The type would have been arbitrary, purposeless, and misleading. Not only the saints, therefore, but also the heavens shall depart, the wicked shall cry to the mountains, to fall upon them. With the close of the seventh plague will come the fullness of the end, which explains the Revelator, the heaven, the atmosphere of our earth, Genesis 1:8. Departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. For the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid in the dens and the rocks to the mountains, sent unto the mountains, and the rocks fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of his Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:14-17. For the fact that all these events close with the second coming of the Yahshua, also the fact that the prophecies plainly declare that Yahweh will gather all his people from among the nations, call forth his own from their graves, catch up all the redeemed, both the living and the resurrection, to meet him in the air, and to go with him into the mansions which he has been preparing for them ever since his ascension, destroys all the wicked, leave the earth empty without the life or light, then make it void and without form, and finally let not the dead live again until the 1,000 years are finished. All these facts make manifest that the earth is to be in a state of the chaos while the saints live and reign with Yahshua in the heaven during the 1,000 years. In this way, Satan is bound by a chain of the circumstances which makes impossible his deceiving of the nations until the 1,000 years are finished, and until Yahshua again returns with the saints, calls forth the wicked death from their graves, and allows them to live for a short season, a season in which Satan again deceives them. Looking forward unto the resurrection after the millennium, the Revelator saw that the wicked went upon the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and the fire came down from Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. This is the second death. Revelation 20:9-10-14. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom and the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Daniel 7:27-28. Seeing that all these things shall surely come to pass, stand ye in the way, says Yahshua, and see and ask for the old path. Okay, that's it. Jeremiah 6:16. Now they give heed unto fables and endless genealogy, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. 1 Timothy 1:4. Not giving heed unto the Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Titus 1:14. for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. My speech and my preaching, says the Apostle Paul, was not with the enticing words of the man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of the men, but in the power of the Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Let this counsel warn Yahweh's people away from the precarious practice of the hanging the doctrine and their faith on the gilded hoops of the perverted interpretation and of the rendering from the tongues unknown unto them, the Hebrew, the Greek, and this, that, or the other, and of the interpretative translation that bolster up and serve the interests of the theological preconceptions and predilections better than does the authorized version, the version which Yahweh in His providence and in His foreknowledge of the finishing of His work by the English-speaking world has given unto His people to lead them into His kingdom. Beware, therefore, of the pretensions of the pseudo-scholarships which assume to be more dependable than that which the Yahweh Himself has chosen and wrought in the simplicity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Okay, the additional information for tract number 9, 1940. Tract number 9, Behold, I Make All Things New, had 112 pages, and was first published in 1940. 2 years later, in 1942, it was revised, having only 78 pages, which proved that some information was left out. By the comparing of the two tracts, it was noted that the 1940 tract, number 9, included other valuable information besides the explanation of 1 Peter 3:18-20, as well as 1 Corinthians 15:29, which was not found in 1942 tract number 9. For the preserving of this valuable information for the edification of the Davidian saints, these pages, 99-110 of the 1940 tract number 9, have been inserted here, which ends with the index page of 110-112. Okay, now we're going to continue on reading. The first angel's message. Fear Yahweh and give glory unto Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. For the clearing of the appointed time of this message, we must take into the consideration the revelation of John, which from the 4th chapter until the 22nd is continuous without a break. That is the conjunction and the word begins each chapter, showing that all these revelations were given unto John at the time that the voice said unto him, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Those things that were to transpire sometime after he had the vision of them. And John, having had this vision about 96 A.D., the first angel's message, therefore could not possibly have been preached before that time. For he to repeat He is not writing of the things of the past, but of the things of the future. Again, the fact that he says, I saw another, the first angel, having the everlasting gospel to preach, further shows that this angel's message had not been preached before he had the vision, but that it was to be preached in the future from that time. Moreover, there is neither scripture nor history to show that the judgment began in or before John's time. Still further, as the first angel message was never preached before 1844, then when the judgment hour came, this angel's message, the message concerning the judgment, went forth. As the investigative judgment is in the two sections, the first devoted to the dead, the second to the living. The fact is evidence that though the first, the second, and the third angel's messages apply directly into the period of the judgment of the living, they must also, though indirectly, apply unto the period of the judgment of the dead. This only except as a warning of the coming event have they been preached since 1844. Hence, when the judgment of the living commences, and when the image of the beast is fully set up, then these messages are with a loud cry to be repeated as the present truth concerning the living instead of the dead. For the foregoing facts concerning the eternal throne, the provisional throne, and the judgment proved correct the book which was used in the proclamation of the first, second, and third angel's messages, and the first application, for in it we read, I saw the Father rise from the throne, and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of Holies within the veil, and sit down. Then the Yahshua rose up from the throne, and the most of those who were bowed down arose with him. I did not see one ray of light pass from Yahshua unto the churlish multitude after he arose, and they were left in the perfect darkness. Those who arose when Yahshua did kept their eyes fixed on him as he left the throne and led them out a little way. Then he raised his right arm, and we heard his lovely voice saying, wait here, I am going to my Father to receive the kingdom. It's your garments spotless. Keep your garments spotless, and in a little while I will return from the wedding and receive you unto myself. In a cloudy chariot with the wheels like the flaming fire, surrounded by the angels, came unto where Yahshua was. He stepped into the chariot and was born unto the holies where the Father sat. There I beheld Yahshua as a great high priest standing before the Father, pretty right in face itself. Someone may ask, if the names of the dead who have not and Yahshua endured unto the end of the life must be blotted out of the book of life, then why did Yahshua preach unto the dead? 1 Peter 3:18-20. In the same scripture giving rise unto the question is also the answer. For Yahshua also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, of which also he went and preached and hear the spirits in the prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by the water, 1 Peter 3:18-20. For this scripture does not say that Yahshua and the person, while his body lay in the tomb, preached unto the spirits in the prison, as is understood by the Son. Instead, it says that he, through the medium of the Spirit by whom he was resurrected, preached unto them in the days of the Noah, while the ark was prepared. Nor does it say that Yahshua preached unto the dead, but rather unto the spirits in prison. Hence, the concern as to whether the spirits in the prison mean the dead or the living is a matter of the interpretation, and such an interpretation must come of the divine authority. Nowhere do we find in the Bible, when it is referring unto the dead, that it calls them spirit, but it does thus designate the living. Moreover, the word plainly says that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten, also their love and their hatred, and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun, Ecclesiastes 9:5-6. Still further, the Yahshua makes it exceedingly plain in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, that after death there is no chance at all for one's salvation. No, not even for a drop of cold water. For the rich man's plea and the death was denied him, and he was told, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence unto you cannot, neither can they pass unto us that would come from thence. Luke 16:25-26. This parable teaches that the only way any of us can be saved from the hell of torment is to hear the Moses and the prophets while we are yet alive, and that if we hear them not, then Yahweh cannot help us after death. It also teaches that if we are not persuaded by them, neither will we be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Luke 16:29-31. Hence, as there is no chance for the salvation after death, and if any while living have failed to hear Moses and the prophets, why should the Yahshua preach unto them after they die? Yahweh is not the Yahweh of the dead, but of the living. Matthew 23:32. Consequently, the spirits in the prison cannot be any other than the antediluvians, unto whom Yahshua, by the Spirit which raised him, preached through the Noah before the flood, while the inhabitants of that world were imprisoned by the circumstances of the coming flood, from the certain consequences of which they could not escape. The statement wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by the water, proves further that it was by the Spirit of Yahshua and the Noah's preaching that the Yahshua before the flood visited the spirits in the prison and saved 8 souls, Noah and his family. Thus, the Spirit of the Yahshua, which was in the prophets, also did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of the Yahshua and the glory that should follow. 1 Peter 1:10-11. But someone asked, if it is true that the Yahshua did not preach unto the dead, then what about those dead who were left without a chance? For the law of the dead cannot be reversed by anyone's ignorance of the Yahweh's. Moreover, says the Yahweh unto his prophet, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel 3:18. As this scripture clearly teaches, that those who have died in their sins cannot be rescued by being preached to after death, even though through the watchman's neglect they have been left without a chance, and those who have died in the ignorance through their own neglect instead of the watchman, as was the case with the antediluvian world, would be even less excusable and would have neither need nor right to be preached to after death, even though it was possible. Those who have never had a chance to hear the prophet, to them the heavens declare the glory of Yahweh and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Psalm 19:1-3. All are to be judged according unto the light Yahweh hath revealed unto them. And those who have had a chance but have failed to learn of Yahweh will not be condemned for being in error, but for falling or for failing to get acquainted with the truth, that is present truth. If this being so, then why are more baptized for the dead? 1 Corinthians 15:29. This brings in about 7 hours, contact at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Lead Me to the Rock by the Elijah Davis song that I've written. Lead me to the rock that is hard and I'll forever be. And dedicated it to the songs of everyone who came to sing and sing. For the life and the soul I have to live is but a stepping stone. For the greater heights I have to attain is never done alone. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's hard enough. Lead me to the place of the Savior's feet. Lead me to the mansion in the sky. Man on a mission came to this world, sort of on the slum. Born in a manger and scarcely a stranger could be seen passing by. Oh, the moon shone bright with the heavenly lights of all the starry host. For the crowd is far up, and all is wondered by the
gonna name the king of rock, name the king of rock that's tough and not. And in the king of place at the Savior's feet, name the king of back in the sky. Push your point to the newborn king when he lay in the manger crib. For he is the descendant of the one who created the Adam's rib. And the Congo of many stories he told about the man of the Galilee. How he changed the water and came to the wine and made the blind to see. Lead me to the rock that is higher than mine. Lead me to the fountain that never runs dry. Lead me in the path by the river of life. Lead me to the mountains of the sky.
Oh yes, lead me to those mansions in the sky.